The 100-year-old film Birth of a Nation has remained highly controversial. The silent film displays racist scenes of Klansmen and violence. Brooks Bertram has been conducting extensive research. She's been invited to appear in London later this month before an academic film group.
The major discovery I made, really, was that there was an African-American woman in Oklahoma who actually wrote a screenplay to refute The Birth of a Nation, the film, by Thomas Dixon and D.W. Griffith. And it was unknown. It had been lost, really, since about 1909. And now I know the film was produced in 1915, but prior to that, Dixon had written several novels, namely The Sins of the Father, The Klansman, and The Leopard Spots. And a good bit of material from all three of those are reflected in Birth of a Nation. So she really was responding to everything that he had written, as well as the film itself.
So this is your chance to reveal the information and speak out on it.
Especially because the woman that I've been writing about and researching is Drusilla Dungy Houston. And she was the person who responded to him across his whole career of writing these materials and in terms of novels and then stage plays and then to the film. And she lived in Oklahoma. And what many people don't know is that Oklahoma really was, although it was considered geographically the Midwest, it was a great deal of people who had been former slave owners and the white Democrats from the South, on the Texas border and others, that they actually came to Oklahoma and really formed the government and what have you. And so there were a number of things that were going on, and Houston was able to see these plays and what have you very close to her.
Why in London? Who will you be speaking before?
There's a group, the London Film Group. It's a group, an academic group and professional group in London that for the last several years has been looking at The Birth of a Nation and doing various kinds of analysis. And so people all over the world have written various things and continue to write. They contacted me and asked if I would participate. And my participation will be talking about this new screenplay, which never made it to the silver screen, but really was in one of the documents that had been overlooked and really needed to be talked about.
Do you think at some point, as you begin these conversations on it, it will emerge and be seen by the public?
Well, yes. Actually, I have the only existing copy of it. And in the research that I've done on this woman, after many years of going to her family, family reunions that had her last name, and finding out that people really only knew of one thing she had written, but they didn't know much about her. And then I lucked up with a call to Arizona and found a woman who was her aunt. And so I flew to Arizona immediately, and that person talked to me for days and then finally decided to bring out a huge plastic box of documents that she had removed from Drusilla's house when she died. And one of them was this screenplay at the bottom of the batch.
You must have felt like you hit on such a great treasure.
I didn't need a plane to fly home.
What was most revealing in what you found in her work?
What was most revealing was that she was fearful of no one or no thing, except maybe the Klan, which was very active in Oklahoma at the time. So she actually secreted this document away and was afraid to make it known to anyone and held on to it for more than two decades. What the document did was to indicate that she understood the full social and cultural and historical forces that were at work. Black people were being lynched on a regular basis, and more often than not, they were being lynched and violence directed against them after they had seen Thomas Dixon's film, Birth of a Nation. And so she wrote about that. She attacked the Wilson administration, presidential administration, during World War I. She attacked black men for not respecting black women and allowing them an opportunity to move into the area. Because she's writing during the silent film era. We don't even have sound at that time. You know, so there were numerous things that she did. She also talked about the Harlem Renaissance and just numerous topics that would be of interest today, because people needed to know that there was indeed an African-American woman, the only African-American woman who completed a screenplay directed towards everything that Thomas Dixon had done.
Even after all of those times had passed, it sounds like politically there was always this effort to keep it down under.
And really to keep the work of African-American women down under. And as a matter of fact, for people who don't know about it, the Birth of a Nation was this film that came into being in 1915, most controversial, and remains the most controversial. And what people considered, especially filmmakers, considered as its most saving grace is that the world was introduced for the first time to these extraordinary advances in photography, like the flashback and the, you know, two images at the same time being shown. The fact that chase scenes were made, and they hadn't seen these things before. And so that's one of the reasons why it won so many awards during the 1915 to 1920 and thereafter, because it introduced the world, and they are the same kind of techniques that are being used today.
How would this be a great tool to use to continue open discussions on race and diversity?
Well, what it would show is that the images that were depicted from Birth of a Nation, that alongside those are a number of images like the killings of innocent people and the rough handling of African Americans, the disparaging of them in terms of their record, the presentation of the black woman as, you know, today we have a different title, but then she was seen as an unvirtuous woman who couldn't be counted on to be honest or faithful or what have you. And that those images lived with us a long time, the Aunt Jemima on the, you know, the pancake box and those sort of things. And a presentation of a film like that really lets us know that at one level we have moved a great deal, but at another level we have not. So that film really set the tone for not only how the U.S. would look at African Americans, but really how the world would see us. And so it is an absolutely imperative starting point, because it was really a film that said that if African Americans are not going to be slaves, then we now can kill them because they're not property. You know, we're not losing property if we lynch them. And that lynching and all started really during Reconstruction, immediately after the Civil War. And I'm especially interested in saying it was an African-American woman who had the courage. This is not to say that African-American men did not take a look at this, but they didn't go toe-to-toe with Dixon as the woman would, you know, scene by scene by scene. And it really is an extraordinary document, and I'm really excited to have an opportunity, first, to have it, you know, to be trusted with it in this way, and then secondly, to be able to present it internationally as a piece of historical, cultural, and political information that really set the tone for how African Americans would be viewed worldwide.
We've been talking to Buffalo's Uncrowned Queens co-founder, Peggy Brooks Bertram. She heads to London later this month to present her findings on a screenplay discovered in the works of African American Drusilla Dungy Houston that traces back to the early 1900s. Eileen Buckley, WBFO News.